Well, it's a bit of an odd way to start a psalm, isn't it? If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. The saying, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, is clearly important. It's meant to call up the voices of the people. It's written into the scriptures. We're all supposed to say this part. If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. And I want us to say that together this morning. And actually, I want us to do one better than that, because this is a psalm after all, and that means it's a prayer, and that means it's also a song. So as St. Augustine said, singing is praying twice. So let's actually sing it together. Will you sing it with me? I'll teach it to you. It's really easy. I'll sing it a little bit. We'll sing it through, and I want to invite you just to keep singing these words, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. And this is how it goes. If it hadn't been for the Lord, and then you take a deep breath, because this is a sigh of relief. And then we'll just step down. We'll sing that three times, and then we'll say, who was on our side? So let's try that. I'll sing it through. Join me on the second time, and as you feel comfortable, and let's keep singing this. If it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, who was on our side? If it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, who was on our side? Keep singing.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
when the enemies attacked,
if it hadn't been for the Lord,
we would have been consumed.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
when the enemies attacked,
who was on our side,
we were not consumed.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
the flood would have destroyed us.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
the flood would have destroyed us. The flood would have destroyed us.
On our side,
we were not destroyed.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
the waters would have gone.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
over all our heads.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
the waters would have gone.
On our side,
we have passed through them. We would have not escaped.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
we would have not escaped.
If it hadn't been for the Lord,
we would have not escaped.
On our side,
now we've been set free.
If it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord,
if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. What does it mean to have God on your side? You know, there's a whole genre of internet videos of close call encounters with death that might look like what you would expect having the Lord on your side to look like. Can we actually roll this clip of these? Here we go. There she is.
my God.
If it hadn't been for the Lord, the internet is full of these videos. Close call crashes, near fatal fails. We watch them and we wince and we laugh. We thank God it wasn't us. And that instinct, that thanking God instinct in seeing something like that or experiencing something like that is truly some of the most honest prayer there is. There was a prayer meeting at my home church back in Omaha, and the pastor was talking to folks and asking them, what is your favorite position in which to pray? And some people said, well, I like to fold my hands around the dinner table with my family. And some people said, well, it's on my knees, and that's when I feel most prayerful. Some people said, it's when I have my arms up, and I just kind of am standing, and I like to pray that way. And a construction worker raised his hand, and he said, you know, I found the most powerful position of prayer to be dangling upside down by my feet, 50 feet up with nothing below me. Yes, I would be praying too. And no, it's not wrong to thank God when you walk away from something that could have killed you, that could have really, really, really gone wrong. That gratitude that we feel in that moment is real, and it matters. And if you have a story like that, I have a couple stories like that. I don't want to talk you out of feeling grateful or thanking God in that moment. But I do have a question, because this is a sermon series about honest talk with God. And if I want to talk honestly about this experience, then I also honestly have to raise the question that came to me this summer. A couple weeks ago, my son Eden was getting ready to go to scout camp for the very first time at the end of July. And the week before he went to scout camp, the news came out about an 11-year-old child who was out at scout camp in Michigan who was killed when a tree fell on him. And if I want to have an honest conversation with God, I say, what? Did God mean for that to happen? Was God just not there that morning? Was God's plan part of this? I can't believe in a God like that. That makes God out to be a monster, and not like the God that I find in Jesus or find in Scripture. So was God not powerful enough to do something to stop that? This is the old dilemma of theodicy, the question of evil in the world. Why does evil exist? Because, of course, crashes happen. Accidents happen. We don't always get to walk away from them. We're mortal, fallible, fragile beings. And sometimes we fail. And sometimes we get caught up in things that we have no power or control over. Martin Luther would remind us in those moments that it is a theologian of glory who assumes that God's ways are the same as human ways, and that strength, God's strength, is demonstrated through what looks to us like power and control, through the outward success of human achievement, through wealth and safety and comfort and dominance and survival. And Luther would also remind us that Jesus shows us a different picture, and that ours as followers of Jesus is more appropriately a theology of the cross, where God reveals himself through the opposite means, where we see God working most clearly through suffering and weakness and failure. Jesus showing us that God's true strength is revealed fully in that apparent defeat of the cross. It's the Hebrew people, the people that created this psalm, that wrote it down, that sang it together. These Hebrew folks knew failure. They knew the failures of war. They knew the failure of loss. They knew the failure of exile. And yet still they sing, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have been consumed. We would have been swept away. We would have been trapped. How can you be attacked? How can you be defeated? How can you see the people you know killed in war? How can you see them taken away into exile? How can you be defeated and still not be swept away? Is it possible for the words of that old youth group song that I used to sing at that home church in Omaha to be true? I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Is that what it means to say the Lord is on our side? What does it mean to say that the Lord was on our side then? Or the Lord is on our side now? You know, the story goes that President Abraham Lincoln was asked this question sometime in the middle of the Civil War. Asked the question if he believed that God was on his side in the battle. And his answer was this: Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. Maybe the better question isn't whether God is on our side. Maybe it's whether we are on God's side. So how do we know if we're on God's side? Well, if it hadn't been the Lord who was on our side, who or what else might have taken God's place instead? Without the Lord, might we have found pride on our side? Without the Lord, might we have found greed on our side? Without the Lord, might we have found sloth or envy or fear or gluttony or lust or rage or vengeance or despair on our side? Without the Lord, we might have found in God's place that place is occupied not by the Lord, but instead by the adversary, by the evil one. And maybe this is why Jesus teaches us to pray and says, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father, deliver us from evil. Save us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but guide us in your ways. In all of our circumstances, in all of our close calls, and in all of our wrong calls. Guide us out of the messes that we make for ourselves and the messes that are way beyond us that we get dragged into nonetheless. Guide us out of this mess and into your ways, oh God. And when we find ourselves guided by the Lord, in that day when we can say in truth that God has been on our side because we have been on God's side, then God's side will be revealed in us in hospitality and in generosity. God's side will be revealed in authenticity and in truth. God's side will be revealed in serenity and in sobriety. God's side is revealed in hope and in courage, in freedom and in mercy, in justice and in joy, in peace and in wisdom. God's side is revealed in love. And if we are to face the challenges that threaten to overwhelm us, if we are to escape defeat, and not necessarily through victory, because you know you can still win and lose yourself along the way. And as somebody said somewhere, what would it profit us to gain the whole world and still forfeit our souls? No, if we are to face defeat, and still find ourselves, still be able to sing and give thanks in our community, it will be because we have known the character and the qualities of God. God's way is not the way of individual power or personal victory. Rather, it's the way of communal good. It's the way that yields the fruits of which there are no laws against, as Paul writes to the Galatians. The fruits that are the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and generosity, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control. And this right now is that way. We come together this morning in worship to pray and to sing and to ponder the word of God, to remind one another of the ways of the Lord, to remind one another of God's character and God's quality, to find God and to find ourselves. You're not just learning about God's side today, but you come together to stand together in it, in this room, right now. So will you sing this with me again?
If it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, if it hadn't been for the hope, if it hadn't been for the hope, if it hadn't been for the joy, if it hadn't been for the joy, if it hadn't been for the love, if it hadn't been for the love that was on our side, if it hadn't been for freedom, if it hadn't been for freedom, if it hadn't been for courage, if it hadn't been for courage, if it hadn't been for the truth, if it hadn't been for the truth that was on our side, it hadn't been for generosity, if it hadn't been generosity, if it hadn't been humility, if it hadn't been humility, if it hadn't been serenity, if it hadn't been serenity that was on our side, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on